This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Okay, everyone, this is it. What we've been training for all season. This is what the blood, sweat, and tears were all for. We've put together an exceptional season. James, you've really been the emotional inspiration of the team, never afraid to open up. Trisha, the fact you're even here after Collingwood's loss on the weekend shows your dedication. Danny, you've made the right decisions at the right time and brought some stability to this team when we lose focus. But all of that was for nothing if we don't get it right today. It's time to bring it home. Do it for your team, for your families, and for this great country we live in. I mean, how good is Australia? How good? But anyway, that's enough from your coach. Get out there. Make me proud. Welcome to the Get Serial Thursdays Grand Final Edition.
Let's get ready to
Get Serial.
Hey, 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 Melbourne. First of all, thanks, Coach, for your inspirational words to start us off this morning. We are absolutely pumped to have the grand final Eve show today of Get Serial Thursdays with James, Trisha, and Brendan. It also happens to be our last show of the season, so it's our grand final too today, guys.
Are we
pumped?
Sure is.
We are pumped.
Ready to go. We have a huge show coming up for you today. We've got lots of footy talk. Hate it or rate it makes a return. One more moose. One last hurrah or one last moo. An interview with Jess Ribeiro, which should be fantastic, and of course the grand finale of the ridiculous quiz.
It's on.
This is the real grand final.
It really is. We have got an amazing show for you today, so stick around. Gonna get into a tune first of all, Heroes by Gang of Youths. This is Get Serial with James, Trisha, and Brendan.
That was Black Fingernails Red Wine by Eskimo Joe, part of our MCG playlist this morning. It's our grand final Eve episode, so we're playing all songs you'd hear at the MCG.
How much of a pump up was that for first two songs? Far out.
Trisha just said in the studio, it's getting me pumped up for grand final, but Collingwood's not in it. So she's a bit shattered right now, but we're going to go back to Monday night. Where Night of Nights, bit of a cliche there. The Night of Nights, it was the Brownlow medal. And obviously Nat Fyfe took out the Brownlow. But we wanna do a bit of a recap. Who was best dressed? Who probably got a bit more votes than they should have?
And who didn't watch it at all because they were busy studying? And that's Danny and me.
Danny, the other week you didn't even know what the Brownlow was. You called it. What'd you call it?
I can't even remember.
She was like, is that the Charles something? I'm like, what the hell?
She probably had the Charlie or something, surely.
No, it wasn't the Charlie.
Is that what you were thinking?
I had the B part, right? Like it was B something. Yeah.
It wasn't the Brownless, was it?
I don't even know. She called it like the Battleson Charles or it was something really weird.
I think the Billy Brownless medal should go to someone else.
I actually like that.
Yeah. The most hopeless footballer in front of a mic.
Wow.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Massive call, but we love Big Billy. Anyway, Brownlow recap. Trisha, you're probably the one to talk to on the dress department. Did you notice anyone on the red carpet that took your eye?
I really liked Mark Murphy's wife.
Yeah, Jessie Murphy.
Yeah, so she had a really lovely white dress on.
She almost looked like she was getting married, but it was pretty
nice.
No,
it was really nice. I'm just having a little flick through. Lockie Neal's missus was also quite the purple gown.
I don't know if you remember that.
There was actually quite a few purple. Purple and yellow stood out. There was Jeremy Cameron's girlfriend and was it Josh Kennedy's wife, I think, had the...
Josh Kennedy?
So can we just backtrack just for half a second here?
Yes.
I'm aware that there may be some of our listeners, it's possible, that don't follow football. We were just talking about a football award, and yet so far all we've talked about is who's worn what from the wives. This is what we do for Brownlow, right?
Yeah, pretty much. The attention gets taken away a little bit from the footballers.
Well, we all made sure that we'd eaten by 7:30 on Monday night so that we could sit down and watch the red carpet. It was just as important. Just saying.
We did burn the tacos, so there was no chance of that happening.
Apologies. Kind of forgot about them.
But anyway, Nadia Bartel had her first hosting gig at Channel 7, and she was dressed really nice and presented herself well as well. So I'll give her a mention.
You're quite a fan of Nadia, though.
Nadia's okay. Anyway.
Just so Nadia Bartel was the one who
was with James Bartel, Jimmy
Bartel, but they've since broken up.
They have since broken up.
Why is she now hosting?
Yeah, I don't know how she gets a role and James is off to the side where he's known for his footy skills and she's just the wag.
Yeah, I don't understand. There's so much about this.
Because she's so good looking and she...
Just thinking about what's been happening in the news. That's all you have to say. Yeah. Well, that's all it is. We'll
probably just leave that one there.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it, but...
Well, look, I mean, guess good on her.
To it, yeah.
Yeah, making the best of single life, I guess. But, yeah, that's just unexpected.
Get in the gigs. Anyway, we'll go on to the actual players.
Okay.
Wow.
So, obviously, Nat Fyfe won Charlie.
He took out Charlie,
and it's his second Charlie. But I thought there were a lot of players this season that were a lot better than Nat Fyfe.
Did you guys, like, I know you would have, but, like, Brendan and Danny, what he said about him, like, winning his Brownlows, but he traded him in to play grand final?
I did see that, yeah. I can totally understand that, because at the end of the day, you don't start your career going, I want 3 Brownlow medals, 2 Brownlow medals.
It's an individual award. You play for your team.
Exactly.
He really is a team player.
And AFL is a team game. There's very few individuals that can sit. It's not like NBA. One person can single-handedly carry a team in basketball.
Definitely.
When there's 18 players on the field, you can't just carry a team like that. And he's done a tremendous job winning his second. But I think there was probably other players that had better seasons than that Fyfe.
I think the Brownlow very rarely goes to the favourite. Very rarely.
Yeah, last year the favourite got it, but years before that,
Thing is as well, I reckon, because he's from over in Perth, like, we talk about him down in Victoria, but the hype isn't as much as what the hype would be for him back at home.
Yeah, if he was playing for Collingwood, he'd go through the roof. He'd be the best player in the comp.
You know, the talk up there was about Scottie Pendlebury, Adam Chalor, like, they'd make it up there, but they definitely weren't the best players for the season.
And look, how many Freo games did you guys actually watch?
And
the one that we lost against.
We don't see it.
I didn't watch too many Freo games, but now that Lachie Neale has moved to Brisbane, he was probably the only person stealing votes off Nat Fyfe, so it was actually no one stealing votes. So in the Freo games, he was always getting the 3 votes, and he got 3 votes in a lot of games, they lost by about 50 points. So he was the standout
player. Same as Paddy Cripps was getting votes.
Yeah, Paddy Cripps was the same. So even though their side was losing, they were the standout players for their side, and that's why they got most of the votes and placed in the Brownlow.
And that's particularly notable, when you do look through the top few vote getters. So obviously Dangerfield and Neale came from big teams, top 4 finishing teams, but Fyfe and Cripps both came from fairly low on the ladder teams, and that's fairly standard. Sort of worst teams, umpires seem to notice the individual efforts more.
Yeah, because you stick out if you're a good player in a bad side. You're carrying that side, you stick out every week, you're the only one trying when your team's losing, so of course you're going to get the votes.
I definitely think he was a worthy winner. I mean, he's been a great player for a long period of time. I know there's been some controversy around it, but I think good on him.
And anyone straight to your head that you saw polled a lot of votes that you probably weren't expecting to?
Ooh.
I can't think of it.
I don't know. As always, I do have a look for my team, the Crows, on the Brownlow votes, and they didn't get many. There was only a couple of votes.
Yeah, who was
to,
a top
to
getter?
Around.
Was it Sloan?
Would have been Brad
or
Crouch.
Crouch.
The latest gossip is going to get going to be traded. So I'm really hoping that's not
the case. There's talk about him going to a Victorian club or maybe even Gold Coast.
But mind you, that's the entire Crows team right now, which is a little bit sad. So.
I thought Jack McRae kind of surprised me.
He got a few too many votes.
He got equal 5th, and obviously with Bont, who would have known, they'd probably be stealing a lot of votes off each other, but that's probably the only name I could think of.
Yeah, it was a good fun Brownlow night. We might get into another track now, another little bit of MCG hype music. So we got a bit of Solid Rock by Goanna. Absolute classic, this one. Heard it at the MCG once or twice myself, I reckon.
Probably the once or twice that you've actually been there.
Nah, I'm there. I'm there plenty. I'm there several times a year. Thank you very much.
Quite impressed.
Let's get it going.
You just listened to I Ran by a Flock of Seagulls, another classic MCG song. Oh my god, my voice is terrible this morning, boys.
What a band name. Who calls their band a Flock of Seagulls?
a good band.
Yeah, produced a great tune, so I'm not complaining at all. So this morning we've had a little bit of our footy talk, but Brendan's been sitting here begging to have a little bit of a rant.
Normally it's me that's ranting.
Yeah, so I'm actually quite interested to see what Brendan has to say this morning.
I'm not particularly pleased about this one. This is something that actually happened a little while ago, but the fact that I'm ready to have a rant about it shows how mad I am.
I feel like your rants are still so chill. Oh. Like, I stand up and go like, bam, like that.
I want all of your emotion in this right now.
I'm ready to rant.
Let's do it.
So, first of all, I live in Brunswick West in a share house. Life's pretty good. Except shortly after I moved in, I had some clothes stolen off my clothesline. Anything that had a logo on it, essentially, made me angry. That's just the start. I went, okay, clearly some weirdos around that steal other people's clothes. I can deal with this. No point going to police. What are they going to say?
It's clothes. Hang them inside.
Just don't shower. Then they won't ask you to steal your clothes.
James Genius Solutions. Coming to a radio show near you. But anyway, I dealt with it. I was okay with that one. I accepted. Now I'm just going to have to put my clothes on the line inside, whatever. Must be city life. As a country boy, I'm not used to that, but I can deal with it.
Not on the hills hoist out there.
Nah, that's right. No hills hoist. So I, you know, things were normal for a couple of months. No big deal. No problems. And then, so I leave my bike in my garage, right? And I know that's not a good start, but I promise you it's weirder than this. I leave my bike in my garage unlocked. It's a shared garage space with multiple cars.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, there's also 20 other bicycles, I'm going to say, between the two garages there, all of which are sitting in the garage, you know, without any locks as well. And I could not believe it. A couple of months ago, I had my helmet stolen. My helmet and the front light off my bike. And I went, okay, all right, this is starting to make me mad.
What goes through someone's head to be like, I want this light?
Do I want headlights?
But only one. I only needed a front headlight. And apparently that I was not the only one that had a helmet stolen. So they went through and just picked two or three helmets randomly.
I kind of get the helmet. Like, you shouldn't do it, but I kind of get it.
But what?
The light.
Mine wasn't even an expensive helmet. There were more expensive helmets sitting in the next garage. Again, so now I'm starting to get a little bit mad. Yep. I did call, you know, the body corporate, looked into
of course,
it, but
yeah.
They, you know, said there's not a whole lot we can do. I went, all right, I'm going to start bought a new helmet. I now keep it in my house.
Yep, good decision.
So far, so good. I'm back on track. I keep my light in the house as well. I take it all off the bike, but I leave the bike there.
Yeah.
Probably a month and a half ago.
Yes, this is what I'm interested about.
This is where things got really weird. A guy approaches me who lives in one of the next door apartments, and he goes, hey man, I'm just wondering if you're aware that your bike seat appears to have gone missing, because mine has as well. And I went, what? Sure enough, take a look at the bike. The bike is still there. Everything else is still on the bike. But it is missing the seat. Someone has pulled out the seat and the tube attached to it and just wandered off with the seat. And not only that, they've wandered off with, again, just one or two other seats from around the garage.
That's just evil, because
What are they doing?
They're making their own bike.
Just take the whole bike, for crying out loud. At least it's a reportable crime then. Instead, what am I supposed to say to the police? Hi, I've lost my bike seat. What am I supposed to do about this?
That's evil. What are they going to do with a bike set? You can't ride your bike. They could have just taken your bike.
Exactly. It's unlocked. Just take the whole bike. Why would you steal a bike seat?
They just want to torture you, not make you ride
honestly,
your bike.
Honestly, like, they're trying to make me mad. And so I went
they're
to
trying.
They've succeeded. What am I supposed to do, though? Do I lock it to the bike? Yeah, what do you... I'm going to take my bike seat with me every time I...
You have to take your bike to bed at this point.
Let me just wheel it up the stairs into my room. Oh, I'm at a loss, guys. So I'm wondering if you've had anything that weird stolen before or even close, because...
I wouldn't say that weird, but I did have... I was dating a girl who left her sunnies in the cinema, and we noticed outside the cinema that she didn't have her sunnies. So went to the toilet, came out, and I saw a girl with the exact same pair of sunnies. So I poached her. I'm like, my missus at the time, she's lost her sunnies. Can you give them back? He's like, no, they're my sunnies. And she was adamant they were her sunnies. Anyway, so we look at the inside of one of the... Is it, they're called arms? Yeah, sunglasses?
Yeah, sunglasses, arms.
Yeah. We looked at one of the arms, and it had... my ex-missus' initials engraved in it. I'm like, it's basically her initials, like, given back. And she's like, no, 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 they're mine, my name. And she made up a name and everything. But we end up getting the sunnies back. But I'm like, how old? They were a $5 pair of, like, Chemist Warehouse sunnies or, like, pharmacy sunnies, you know what I mean?
And wait, so you did manage to get them back eventually, though, after all her
story. I'm actually impressed that you got them back.
Yeah, we got them back. I wouldn't leave. Like, I was like, nah, they're sunnies.
I can't imagine.
You being a good boyfriend.
Yeah, or just slash being incredibly annoying. Did you just follow around and
you could go either way.
The things you do for women.
Oh, my goodness. You sound that's like such a 1980s man there.
That's about as weird as it got, which is a little bit weird.
That is pretty odd. And to deny it so much, it's like, just give up. You've found some sunnies, and yeah, that's very strange. What about you, Danny? Had anything weird stolen along the way, or not really?
Yeah, I'm just still trying to understand why they didn't just steal your whole bike. Was it not locked up?
It's unlocked.
So weird.
Not only that, it also had a bike pump on it. It had, the back light was still there. I mean, they could have stolen any other part. And
it's basically the perfect Christmas present right there.
I didn't have anything stolen, but like, a couple of weeks ago, like, someone just like smashed my back car window to like get to this bag of capsicums in the back of my car. Like, it was it was visible that there were just capsicums. Like, I don't know what the...
You just said you haven't had anything weird stolen. Yeah, this is the weirdest thing I've heard all morning.
I didn't realise... Well, they didn't take the capsicums. They just, like, looked in the bag with the capsicums. But you could see that it was just capsicums. And so they, like, ruffled around. Maybe they took one or two cappies. I'm not sure. But, like, they smashed... I had these groceries that I forgot to take inside, and they smashed the back window of my car.
Get some capsicums.
Well, go through the bags if, like, I'd accidentally left $10,000 underneath my capsicums.
As you do.
That's where I store all my $10,000.
I could just imagine the guy walking past, like, capsicums.
Honestly,
bang through the window.
I don't want to incriminate anyone, but that could have been my girlfriend. She will eat capsicums like an apple. Like,
really?
Yeah, pretty weird.
But by the time that they would have smashed the window, they'd be like, oh, glass through it. So they're completely in it. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
There's some pretty weird ones out there. My dad had we went and had dinner. He'd already had this car broken into once. We were driving a ute, and on the back of the ute, there was a fire extinguisher. Came back an hour later, fire extinguisher was gone. Like, what are they going to do with that?
Oh, is this a thing in Victoria? So I was born in Queensland, and everyone was really, like, people would steal your L plates and your P plates if you had them on the outside of your car.
What?
Yeah, why, like, it was a proper thing. Like, you couldn't even leave them on the outside of the car while you filled up at the servo because people would just steal them.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe they wanted them. So that's not a thing in Victoria?
Not that I'm aware of.
Must have a lot of underage drivers in Queensland.
Hit us up on the socials if you've ever had your L's or P's stolen. We'd love to hear about it. Get Serial on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Still can't believe we have a Twitter account, but get around it, guys. Support.
We probably won't respond to you. Contact on Twitter.
But anyway, look, I feel slightly better now that capsicums people are chasing, but I'm still weirded out by it. And I went to buy a bike seat the other day, going, finally better deal with this. It's been a month. And of course, I don't know anything about my bike because I'm not a bike pro. And the first thing they ask me is, oh, what type of bike is it? We need to know for the tube size. And I'm like, there's a different tube size, the bit that attaches
pretty
to the
basic
seat.
Question.
All right. When you put it that way, it doesn't reflect well on me, does it?
No.
Anyway, I think we get into another MCG tune.
I'm keen.
So this is Birds of Tokyo, I'd Go With You Anywhere. You're listening to our grand final Eve special with James, Trisha and Brendan.
Woo!
That was No Second Prize by Jimmy Barnes on our MCG playlist for this morning. It's our grand final Eve show. And speaking of no second prizes, Trisha would know that all too well. Last year's heartbreak of the grand final. And then last week's preliminary final loss. And Trisha, there is no second prize, is there?
No.
Not getting much out of you this morning.
There's definitely not a third or fourth prize either, which is unfortunately what you are.
I'm really glad that I wasn't here last week to pump up how excited I was for this prelim, because it would have just been such a contrast, and I think I would have copped it more from you guys if I'd been like, yep, I'm going to go. And actually, compared to the amount of confident Collingwood supporters, like, I thought we had a chance, but I definitely wasn't writing GWS off. Like,
so you hadn't already had it won?
No, I definitely think everyone I thought that we had it won were out of their minds because we had not had it won.
So on Saturday, you did go to the prelim Collingwood GWS. Can you just talk us through a bit
You're
of the
lucky
day?
I can actually talk it through. So my voice is still a bit rusty from the weekend. But
it's been like 5 days.
Yeah, well, I did have a big weekend. I had the concert Friday night as well, so...
That's right, you saw the 1975.
Yes, which we'll talk about a bit later. But anyway, for now, no, so it was an interesting game of footy. It was like my boyfriend described it as just a weird game overall, and I think that's the best way to put it. The actual footy was average.
The skills were a bit off.
Yeah, the crowd was...
The intensity's up so much that the skills kind of drop off, so that's expected, but it was a weird game.
The crowd was average. It was... Everything about it, until the last quarter where it looked like, oh, God, like, we might actually have this. You want to talk about most, like, heartbreaking games I've ever witnessed? This was it.
So, siren goes. What's Trisha like? What's her state?
I bawled my eyes out. So, I was... When I... It got within 2 goals and I started crying, but it was more like I looked at my mate, I'm like, we could get this, like, I think we're going to come back and get it. And I'm like, happy crying, like, yeah, like, it's going to happen. And like, we had the ball in our 50 the entire, like, what, last
3 minutes, yeah.
Probably potential 5 minutes.
The whole
minutes.
Quarter was in your half
of
the field.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, like, we're just going to clear it, like, someone snap it, done. Like, I was hoping, you know, like, someone like Jamie Elliott, Callum Brown, someone just snap it. Nothing.
And a ball hit the post as well in the last few minutes. That
There was a lot of what ifs and imagine ifs for that game. If we had, you know, what if we had kicked one goal in the third term or.
Mind you,
that
was,
kills you.
There was also a goal that should have been overturned in that last quarter. It was a pretty weird game overall. I don't understand why you have a score review system and then it.
And a new one too that they're like trying to work out.
Yeah,
and
I'm definitely bringing that up a bit later about the score review system. So
just saw as well this morning flicking through, they're calling out for the AFL players to just be honest now. If they know that they've touched it, to come out and say, yep, I've touched
they're
it.
They're
going to
do like a player, and yeah, like they're going to do a player review like cricket as well,
yeah.
So they can challenge it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting system. I don't know. I don't think you can trust players, unfortunately.
You can't.
Because they've got too much riding on the line, especially in a final.
I definitely wouldn't have said I touched the ball. Like, as bad as that sounds, like, especially knowing that you could be potentially playing a grand final next week, you're not going to want to say that you touched the ball. No chance.
No, you're going to say you did touch the ball.
Yeah. it was an interesting game, certainly from a neutral perspective. I think I speak for a lot of Australia that follows footy but doesn't go for Collingwood when I say I was rooting for GWS.
I was too. I was so happy, jumping up and down my living room.
I've always have said that I'd love GWS to make the flag. I've said it since, like, I've followed them since I've started.
It's bittersweet
and
that
yeah,
it happened
like,
this way.
I'm not really over it, like, I'm not going to lie, but, like, I'm over it enough to... Be,
you
like
don't
to get back
it.
On the GW, I'm not to get back on the GW, yeah. And like, it's not even just me jumping on it because I absolutely hate Richmond. It's just I really believe that GWS deserve a flag, and I also said that if they didn't beat us this weekend, I don't know if they deserve to play finals next year because how do you get to how many prelims they have? Like, we knocked them out of the semi last year. But their team genuinely deserves.
It's their turn now, and hopefully they upset him on the weekend. And Danny's fallen asleep in studio. Too much footy talk for her. But I wanted to ask Brendan, and almost ask myself as well. Well, I know the answer to it.
Yeah,
but,
I know James's.
You're
asking yourself questions now. You're really doing this interview thing really well, you know.
I potentially know where Brendan's going to go.
You cried or felt heartbreak over a footy game?
Oh, look.
And which game?
Part of the reason I will be absolutely cheering for GWS on the weekend is the fact that Richmond did my team, the Adelaide Crows, over 2 years ago, and I watched the game with a big bunch of mates. Shout out to Seb and all the other guys, and they're all, you know, neutral supporters, but a lot of them started going for Richmond just to, you know, annoy me.
Wind you up a little bit.
And in the first quarter, things are looking good, and then it just turned into an absolute heartbreak. It was devastating to watch. I didn't cry. I don't think I've ever cried over a footy game, but there's certainly a hollow feeling when you're so invested in something like that. And it's kind of hard to understand if you don't follow a sports team to that kind of level of dedication.
I'm certainly a passionate.
It's certainly, I feel it more extremely in, you know, games I've played in. So in losing preliminary or grand final basketball games, just the feeling afterwards is just empty because you've thrown so much behind it, especially in that situation when you put so much energy into it. And that's why I always feel for, no matter who the team is, like the players, you just watch them after the game when they drop to the ground.
They just collapse and
they've given it all they had. And
that's 12 months.
Maybe not all of the Collingwood players gave it all they had on the weekend.
Oh, there are a couple that I put on a chopping board.
Some did, and you can just imagine how they're feeling.
But this is the thing. I think people are unnecessarily harsh around sports players too. They all would have given the best that they could on the day. It's just that for whatever reason they didn't perform. I know you're making a face, Trisha. You're not impressed with some of your players' performances, but like we all...
There was no one in the third. Yeah,
It's sometimes sport. I mean, if momentum's against you, sometimes you can feel like you're running uphill. It really can.
I just don't get how they were non-existent in the third term, and then
in the first three quarters in general.
Yeah, but not so much. It was the third term that really stuffed us up, and then for the fourth quarter, come out and play like they did.
It's pretty heartbreaking.
I think that's why I was so sad. Like the siren went, and I've gone head in hands, bawling my eyes out. And I've had two girls, like, in front of me jump over, like, trying to, like, I don't know, console me or something. I don't know what it was. But, like, it's never hurt. Like, the grand final last year didn't even hurt, like, as much as what Saturday night did. Like, it was...
Yeah, that's tough.
And I know for James, the prelim where
there was
we...
was a prelim a couple years ago, 2011, where we lost by a kick. We were up all game and Collingwood kind of robbed us of a grand final berth and... I just remember screaming. I was only in year six at the time, screaming, crying, having a year six fit.
You guys make me feel like I'm not a dedicated enough fan.
It was nuts.
Oh, jeez. We might get into another song while the emotional heartbreak continues in the studio. We've got a bit of Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. Enjoy, guys. Listen to Get Cereal on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan.
This is Sin News.
The time is 6:57. My name is Danielle O'Neill with your Thursday morning Sin News. The ACT has legalised personal cannabis use, making it the first Australian state to do so. Under the laws passed in state parliament yesterday, adults in the ACT will be able to grow two cannabis plants each. The law comes into effect January 31st next year. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has told MPs the Supreme Court was wrong in their ruling that Johnson unlawfully suspended Parliament for 5 weeks. Opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn called for his resignation overnight. The White House has released a transcript of the conversation between US President Donald Trump and Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky. President Trump repeatedly pushed for the Ukrainian president to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter during a July 25th phone call. And the UN has released a new IPCC report following the climate change summit in New York this week. The report warns Australia can expect extreme coastal flooding every year and a 20% decline in our fisheries over the next 80 years. Scientists say the changes can be minimised if global warming is kept to less than 2% on pre-industrial levels. More headlines in half an hour. Danielle O'Neill, Sin News.
Let's get ready to set cereal.
Good morning, Melbourne. It is 6:59, almost 7 o'clock for you early birds. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin. It's our last episode. It's our grand final Eve special. There's a bit of a footy flavour this morning. We'll be talking a bit of Hate It or Rate It, which is a good segment. That's going to have a bit of a footy flavour as well. We're going to do the ridiculous quiz, and it is the most important grand final of the day, the ridiculous quiz. Me and Trisha, who will win? We've got more from our MCG playlist, a bit of the Foo Fighters, a bit of Australian Crawl, a bit of In Excess, which we're going to play for you now. This is Don't Change. You're listening to James, Brendan and Trisha on Sin. That was Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap. You're listening to the MCG playlist in our Grand Final Eve special with James, Trisha and Brendan. But we're going to get off the footy flavour just for a little bit.
Just for a little bit. We're going to take a tiny bit of a break and jump into talking about someone who's pretty topical at the moment, and that is Greta Thunberg. Trisha.
Yeah, so I will admit that I did not have much knowledge on this one until I actually went to the 1975 concert over the weekend.
I like the way you get your education through music. It's good.
Yeah, no, so the 1975 had recently released a song, and it was just a speech. And James can vouch for me, and I was like, what am I listening
you
to?
You listened to it in here one Thursday, like, oh, it 1975, was, yeah. No, released a new song, oh my God. And you listen to it, like, what the hell is this? They're talking.
Yeah, like, I will admit my ignorance of the whole, like, topic was ridiculous. Anyway, go to the concert on the weekend and they play it, and the 1975, especially our lead singer Matt Healy, is quite a climate change activist. Learned that Greta actually is the person speaking on the song about the climate change, and I think in the last week I've learned that much about exactly what's going on purely from this 16-year-old girl who's actually trying to do something.
Well, so I don't know anything about it, so maybe you can teach me.
Look, I'm only a very minor expert at the moment.
I like that, a very minor expert.
No,
So Greta's a Swedish 16-year-old, a climate change activist who has been in the public eye for a while now. She won a prize for writing an essay, I believe, about the topic, and then gradually came to more and more fame, particularly well-known for organising the school's strike for climate change. So, you know, they're not going to school on Friday. She was one of the first to
do that. Well, no one likes going to school on Friday, so good on you, Greta.
Yeah, well, she's certainly taking it for a very serious reason, and it's now got to the point where, they got 150,000 people in Melbourne last week.
Melbourne alone.
Over 4 million around the world striking for climate change, which I thought was just amazing. The difference that she's making as an individual has been particularly crazy. But what's really put her in the spotlight recently was her speech at the UN talking about climate change and how it is a massive threat to humanity and also, you know, the planet as a whole and how it currently operates.
She's really blunt and gets to the point, and it's making people listen.
Oh, whether it's making people nervous.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing that really came across in her speech was the passion. It was just amazing to hear how passionate she was. And I think the key sound grab that you'll hear on the news all the time, the journalists have been loving this one, is the how dare you.
Yeah, it was on repeat.
Yeah. How dare you, politicians, senior people, how dare you not do something about climate change? You're stealing from the future generations, effectively, which I thought was a pretty powerful message.
Very deep.
But the response has been really weird. Yeah. Have you noticed that? The response has been very odd. So there's been a lot of people I've seen, to their credit, have responded well and, you know, talked about how amazing this is and how we need to make a difference. But then the denialists have responded in such strange ways.
Yeah. I definitely was one of those. I try and not turn my back at it, but the whole concept of things like that makes me really nervous. So I prefer just to ignore it.
Like,
I'll happily say that. But I could not run out of the mosh pit Friday night, so I was forced to sit there and listen to this speech, and I'm like, oh crap, like, this is actually a lot more serious. And if a 16-year-old is talking about it, why am I not even thinking about it? Right.
Yeah, and the thing I find particularly interesting, Danny just showed us off air a picture before of the type of people who are who have been disagreeing with Greta's speech, shall we say, and saying things about it and about her. And funnily enough, they're all older white males. There's a funny coincidence there. I don't know what that means, but certainly it's been really interesting to watch the way people respond. The amount of people who have descended to personal attacks on her is sickening, I think, in today's world.
No, I agree.
The fact that she's being called names and mentally ill on TV in the US, all sorts of horrendous things have been said. Andrew Bolt coming out and saying all this nonsense about how apparently she's been manipulated for all this, when if she... he done any research, her parents didn't support her campaign on climate change.
They said that if you want to do it, you're doing it by yourself.
And so she has literally all been her. This isn't someone being manipulated by her parents. And, you know, the crazies that she's getting all her facts from are scientists.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing that people are willing to dispute.
It's people scientists. Wanting to ignore. I wouldn't.
You can't do anything good in this world without being criticised. Yeah. No. You're always going to have your critics.
I definitely wouldn't have reacted like some people have, but I think they are because they don't want to acknowledge it. Mm. They don't want to accept that it's happening. And at the end of the day, they're not the ones that are going to be living in it.
Like, no, that's true. It's very true. Yeah, right? They don't have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, like we're the ones that are going to grow up and have to deal with the fact that the Earth is a degree hotter.
Yeah, and what that means as well. I mean, I saw something that really interests me as I was watching The Project last night. Steve Price is a conservative commentator, and he said something that when I thought about it a bit afterwards really resonated with me, which is, so he was very much against Greta, like most of them, most of the conservative commentators. They find all these different ways. But he said it's difficult to criticise Greta Thunberg and her speech because of her age. And I've thought about that for a while and then realised how wrong that is. The fact of the matter is, if you cannot criticise someone simply on their speech, if you cannot critique what they said, if you have to actually talk about their age, if their age and what their, you know, who they are, whether they have Asperger's or not, which she does have Asperger's syndrome.
So I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. If you have to bring that into the frame, then you are not critiquing what they've said. You are critiquing them as a person. And I think that's a real example of how debate has degraded, in that we can't just talk about what's been said anymore, the speech, the content. If we're going to criticise something, we have to talk about the individual, the person behind it. That is so wrong to me.
Yeah. No, I agree. Couldn't agree more.
And you see it everywhere, right? And you just listen to our politicians. You know, they can't talk about, if you listen to something like Question Time, they're never talking about the actual topic at hand. They're just talking about each other as individuals and some obscure thing that they've done in the past, because the actual currency of what's being said doesn't seem to matter anymore. That's what really scares me.
Well, couldn't have said it any better than Brendan. You're going to be listening to the 1975 by the 1975. This is the speech we were talking about. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
Pretty powerful stuff. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. It is our grand final Eve edition and we are absolutely pumped. It's been a lot of fun so far and we've still got a little bit to go.
We are, but how powerful is that?
Yeah, huge.
I told you, like, I'm actually quite ashamed that I brushed it off when it first came out. It's so powerful.
Oh, and that ending is such a mic drop moment. That was, for those who didn't know, the 1975 by the 1975, is that right?
So every album they release, the same, like a track called the 1975, and they come out with that one this time. So
that sounds quite a change. Incredibly confusing, but also
It is. But if you follow them, you understand it.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, we are going to go into another song and come back with Hate It or Rate It. This is Errol by Australia Crawl. That was Errol by Australian Crawl. You're listening to our grand final Eve special with James, Trisha and Brendan. And we're going to get a bit of Hate It or Rate It, last one of the season.
You've loved this all season long, James.
Well, it only came in halfway through. It was a bit of an inclusion.
Well, you know, sometimes a member will come into the team halfway through the season and play in the grand final.
Yeah, one soldier down, replace a soldier. That's how it goes.
That's right. We did have that with Trisha last week, but she's back now, thankfully.
I'm in full form now.
Anyway, so obviously I said a bit of this grand final week, so I will do a footy edition of Hate It or Rate It. Trisha, you have a question?
Statement, I'm not answering the second question, period. Just let you know.
Oi, early reveal, come on.
Anyway, so the first question, Hate It or Rate It, Danny, you can join in to maybe just for this question, because you won't understand any of the other ones.
That is very discriminatory.
Anyway, so having a pie at the footy, it's probably the most Australian thing you can think of. Hate it or rate it?
100%. Like, only reason I like to go to an AFL game.
have a nice snack. You love the snacks at the AFL.
All the snacks. Like, I'm pie, yes, I'll go for it.
What's your go-to?
Well, I really like hot dog with, like, the mustard.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah, and I love that they have the unlimited, like, sauce. Like, in the big bulk tubs. Like,
oh, my God, yeah.
No, none of those, like, little squeezy packets that you have to pay 50 cents for. Yeah.
You get keen, get into it.
Trisha, pie at the footy.
I hate it purely because of the way I eat a pie.
Are you one of those people that cut off the lid and scoop the insides in?
You've seen
in?
How I...
Oh,
okay.
You smash the dough.
I put sauce on top of the pie and smash the lid in and then, like, what? Mix it all up and eat. So, like, the pastry's mixed in with the... And then eat it with a spoon and then, like...
Are you a caveman?
And then I dip all the pastry on the outside into sauce and eat it. So I can't physically do that at the footy.
Makes sense.
So I've never seen anyone just pick up a pie and go to town on it. Let's just smash this thing in.
I'm gonna next time I eat a pie, I'll
please.
I'll record it.
Wow, that's interesting. Obviously, you don't have pies at the footy, Brendan. Pie at the footy.
I hate it, but that's simply because of the price. I love a pie. Don't get me wrong, but I'm also the world's biggest cheapskate, and I take one look at the prices when I walk into the footy for anything. Bucket of chips, you're looking at. You know, upwards of $5, it hurts me on a spiritual level. So I have to hate it. But that being said, if there's a freebie thing going on, there's one going on where there was like free pies at the footy for 1 week, love it.
Yeah, well, if I had a fold-out table, I'd totally enjoy my pie.
We'll stick with the pies. Oh, yeah, I love a good pie. Yeah. It's my go-to at the footy, always a pie. Sitting before, I get there about an hour early, so maybe two pies.
What do you do for an hour before the footy?
Soak up
that atmosphere. Why do you get there early?
I just embrace it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Extend the experience.
I'll get there when the gates open just to sit there.
I just sit there, embrace it, look at the then? G, look at the players warming up, listening to the MCG playlist, which you've been listening to all morning.
Yeah, I get bored.
No, I love it.
We will stick with the pies flavour, but not the pies as you know. Collingwood lost on the weekend and gotta say, was a pretty good feeling seeing them go out in a
2011
final.
Prelim. I'll just keep stinging
you
with
that
one.
Yeah, what happened next week, Trisha? Anyway, pies losing another final. Hate it or rate it, Brendan?
Look, first of all, I would like to apologise to every Collingwood fan out there and say, please, please don't come to my house and bash me up. But absolutely rate it. How good was it to see the pies?
How good was that, Brendan? They're out.
Oh, I felt good. Oh. And I was driving along for the last 5 minutes when it was only,
the radio was intense.
I'd had it turned right up. I was, I was shaking in my car. I was not my finest driving performance. But when that siren went, I celebrated in my house. Mate was in the car and she just went, what is going on? You're right. I said, you've just got to let me have this. Okay, that was amazing.
Trisha, jump
what
on the bandwagon.
What have Collingwood done to Adelaide for you to hate
the 2009 semi-final?
Oh yeah, true, actually.
Yes.
I couldn't remember the year, but we'll go with that.
No.
They're Collingwood, come on,
Trisha, like, come on, jump on the bandwagon. How good is it seeing Collingwood lose a final?
That's the first time I've ever had seen or heard a death stare work on radio. You could feel that.
I don't understand. Why don't you just hate Richmond? What have Collingwood done? I don't even want to talk about it. Can we go to the next question?
We talked about it briefly. We'll go a bit more serious. Obviously,
Thank you.
So fun, but it wasn't it, Brendan?
Shut up!
That was so fun. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, the score review system had a few failures. They put in the ARC, which is, I don't even know what it stands for. Kind of like that box where they will sit in and they look.
Sports media students right here.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a media box that they all sit in and there's like 10 billion screens in it. There's like 10 billion screens.
They just built this
AFL review centre
at
AFL House. It's like a bunker they have in the NRL and it's just 1,000 TVs where they get every angle. And they still managed to stuff up a score review.
Are you surprised?
So the score review system, hate it or rate it?
Look, I still rate it. I think it would have been... Let's look at how that happened. As it is, they got one wrong and one right for the... No.
It was originally right. called a two. Goal, though, wasn't it? And it two. Was touched.
So there were two that they got right, one wrong. One was a called a goal and was pulled back after it was seen that it was actually a behind. I think that was Pendlebury's
Pendlebury,
goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pendlebury's.
And the another one was checked on the goal line, which was touched by an elbow from memory. And that one was got right. But then the last one they got wrong, I can't remember who kicked it.
It was Josh Thomas. He kicked one and they called it a goal. So if without the score review system, it still would have been a goal.
Well, this is the thing. I still rate it because we're still in a better situation than we would have been. We would have had... I think the umpire's call was wrong on the other two. So we would have had three bad calls. As it was, we got one. That's not a bad... That's a better result than it could have been.
It's a mini win. It's not a great win, but it is still
I think it's just lucky that GWS won it. In all honesty, if we had stolen the win,
it would have been a point. Yeah. It would have been, or 2 points, it would have been...
Like, it's almost better for our sake that... No, it's not, but you know what I mean.
It would have
like,
been a horrendous situation for the AFL. As it is, they get away
with
it.
Would have taken a lot out of what would have been a really good comeback.
Well, and that's the thing, and it was. It was an amazing comeback. Credit to them.
33 points up at the 5 minute mark of the last quarter.
With a slippery ball as well.
So, wet conditions, and Collingwood to finally turn up to play with 15 minutes to go is unbelievable.
It was very, very close. But yeah, look, I definitely rate it. What about yourself, Tricia?
I'm starting to rate it.
The jury's
starting to rate it?
Yeah.
Surely it'll only get better. They've got the Snicko now. I love that.
I was about to say, like, they really needed to take a leaf out of the cricket, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, the jury's out on this one. I think if the players can review their own decisions, then
that'll
or have like an appeal or something, then that might work for them.
I think they've got enough time there. They should have been able to review it in that time. I just think they need to get their processes right. I don't know if someone at AFL House fell asleep.
I don't get how people in the crowd can see on the screen that it's touched. These guys have 10 billion screens in front of them and they still can't see it.
James was messaging us touched for both of the times and... I think the first one was the one where they said it was touched. The second one,
they called it a goal. Yep. Anyway, that is Hate It or Rate It for this season.
Loved
we'll be
it
back
all season
next
long.
Season on Thursday.
Hopefully.
But for now,
we're hoping to be back. We'll see what happens.
I'm quietly
confident. Keep your ear holes to the radio.
Anyway, we'll go to another MCG song. This is probably my favourite MCG song. This is Learn to Fly by the Foo Fighters. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan, the Grand Final Eve special on Sin.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. Another great tune there off the Grand Final Eve playlist. These are the songs you hear at the MCG, aren't they, James?
They are. They certainly are. And they're just stunning tunes.
Certainly. We've certainly been enjoying them in the studio. We're now lucky enough to have a fantastic interview coming up. So we've got Karen in the studio. Karen is the director of Pounce Global, which in collaboration with Hemispheres Foundation is hosting the 11th Global Youth Summit Actions for Earth for the first time in Australia. Past summits and camps have been held in Singapore, Indonesia, Vietnam and Cambodia. The GYS 2020 is a summit for youth aged 13 to 20 years old, focusing on 7 of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, with key industry speakers, model UN workshops, and an international sustainable innovation competition. Thanks so much for joining us in the studio today, Karen.
Nice and early. Good morning.
Oh, we love a good early morning here on Get Serial, that's for sure. So tell us about yourself. Who are you and who are you representing today?
Well, I'm representing the Global Youth Summit. So I have been very fortunate to be asked to help a friend of mine in Singapore who's been running all of these summits across Asia to bring it to Australia for the first time. And I think the climate's just, excuse the pun, the climate is ripe for something like this to be held in Melbourne.
Certainly
and
is.
Certainly a hot topic. Oh, another pun.
Oh, wow. She's on fire this morning.
You reckon she's been practicing?
Definitely.
Yeah,
she certainly fits in.
We have talked about Greta already this morning, obviously. Her speech has been hugely topical recently.
Very,
so this is a great moment for what you're doing. So certainly tell us more about the event.
Well, I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for the youth to to get involved and feel empowered and discuss the hot topics, there it is again, and become educated. Mm. Because a lot of people are out there, you know, they're having fun protesting and, you know, they're swept up in all this hype. But I saw a funny little interview on TV the other day of a little 10-year-old saying, yeah, we've got to make change and get all those people out of the industry. And someone said, what industry? No, like ScoMo, get him out. And it's like, what industry? He's our prime minister. Yeah, the prime minister industry. Look, it's great having that enthusiasm.
I do think we do have some issues in our prime minister industry, but perhaps that's a topic for another day.
Another morning.
Absolutely. Yeah, so look, it's certainly, it sounds like a fantastic event, and I definitely think education is crucial. Mm. Do you think that at the moment then that youth don't have enough awareness around these issues? Do you think there's an overall lack in that area?
I think there's an awareness, but then what do we do to implement this?
Of course.
And so the Global Youth Summit has this wonderful competition which encourages everyone to think about how can they actually make a small change. They don't have to change the whole planet in one generation. I mean, we can try, but with small little things like one of the participants from last year who actually won, and he's coming along to this year's, he's a 16-year-old boy from the Philippines. He created all these potato battery lamps for his village to allow the children to study at night. Because they had fantastic. No electricity.
So they were powered by potatoes, like the science experiment. Oh, that's brilliant.
And so he sold them for like 50 cents or something. And so that's the other aspect. You can become social entrepreneurs. And that's another great topic because a lot of young people these days are so savvy, making money and making their own businesses on the internet. It's a good way to make a social impact and bring social entrepreneurship into their lives.
Yeah, and this is something, I mean, a lot of young people, I think it ties in nicely, a lot of young people feel a bit hopeless around issues like this because they are such big issues and it's very difficult to know what you can do as an individual. So this is, that's a big focus, is it, of the summit?
Yes, you can win seed funding.
And, to grow your potatoes, to using your
Labs. And then you have mentors that can help you actually commercialise your idea. So another entrant who are also coming from Oman, that's out in the Middle East, in case you don't know. I mean, you know, but some of our listeners. I mean, it's an amazing place. And these young boys developed an electric sensor, which they put onto these water tankers because they would the guys would fill up these tanks and just have the water overflowing while they chatted on their mobile phones. And this water that would overflow into the villages would create just a hot spot for mosquitoes to build, to just breed, and they would catch malaria and people were getting sick in the villages. So something simple like an electronic sensor, which would tell them when it was getting full.
That's so clever.
Just stopped them from overflowing, and it saved the malaria from spreading. And so these guys, 15, 14-year-olds, won this award.
That's amazing. What a clever idea.
Yes.
Yeah, and look, that just seems incredible. What's it like to be an adult working with youth? So obviously it must be a bit of a challenge, I guess, or do you find it inspiring? How do you find it?
Well, the listeners can't see how old I am.
I would not say that at all.
So I've been actually working in the music education industry for 30 years.
Wow.
And I've always
believed... I didn't even think you were 30. Did you say that?
I love that. Thanks, James. I've always felt that even through music, and this is another off the tangent a little bit, but even musicians can make a difference. And this was even before Live Aid, and, you know, I've been around that long. But I thought our musicians could, you know, little kids from 4 years old, we'd busk in the streets and do a charity buskathon, and we still do that today, and it empowers them. And they always ask, oh, did we save those children's lives? And they're pointing to kids in the brochure of the children's hospital. Oh, did we help them? You know, and I say, yes, yes, you played your Mary Had a Little Lamb and you raised money, and now they're feeling a lot better.
And just imagine how many more people will turn out like Greta Juju programs like this. We see what Greta's doing around the world. So this is definitely an advocate for that.
Yes, yes. And I think in any form of life, I mean, age is not any industry. I mean, age is not a barrier. As we see through Greta, she's only 16 or 15 when she started this. And if you feel a passion about something, whether it's animals, I mean, a lot of young children have a passion towards animals, or other children, or children from third world countries. I mean, we're so educated now through the internet that we know a lot about what's going on, and we can't shield the children anymore, or youth. They know a lot more about issues than we do. So I think as adults we have to try and explain as best we can, and of course have the open debates and talk about it openly and say, okay, well, you feel this way, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and that sort of leads on to the next question I wanted to ask, which was a lot of people, especially our Prime Minister Scott Morrison, are concerned that all this talk about climate change and the issue that it is creating a lot of anxiety in young people. Do you have any thoughts about that? What's your response to that? You know, having worked with young people for a long time, clearly, do you think it's an issue here, or do you think it's valid?
I think it's an issue for young people and old people, and I think perhaps that's why there are climate change deniers. I mean, it's more complicated as you become older and you get entrenched in the economies of the things that, you know, impact. You can't just sort of snap your fingers and say, okay, no more coal or no more oil. You know, it's a lot more complex than that. But I think for young people, they have to understand that even, you know, like, I'm the worst recycler, I must say. I've had to go on a journey myself, and I think we all start to just think about it because the discussions are being started, and just the little things like the straws, not using the plastic straws, or having a keep cup. Oh, sorry about my styrene cup. But normally I would have a keep cup, or I'd think twice about where I'm going to put my rubbish, in the recycling bin or the other one. You know, just those little changes from home and in your everyday life, like walking instead of driving. I mean, I'm a terrible one because I live near Chapel Street, and I still used to drive to the bank on Chapel Street. But now I've actually started walking in my high heels, which is an extra effort for me. Just those small changes.
Breaking habits as well.
Good for the calves, the walking in the high heels.
That's what I think. Yeah.
I never even realised how much I do. I take a metal straw with me everywhere now. Like, I think you've noticed at uni. And if I could easily break a habit, like, maybe James will watch me and say, I'll bring a metal straw to uni now. Like,
it's a good
trendsetter.
Well.
Self-defence mechanism.
She's on fire this morning. Do you want a presenting role?
I think you're excellent.
Thank you.
Not at all.
This is probably one of the first times I've heard about the summit. How do young people get involved in this? Like, how do they? Is it just coming to Melbourne Uni, or do we have to apply? Or what's the process?
Yeah, so you can apply online, but perhaps if they want to talk with their friends and create a little group so that they can present in the international competition, or talk to their teachers at school and get some support and make it part of a school project, and they can represent their school and their country.
Fantastic. And where will they go to get connected with this? Where do they get their information?
www.globalyouthsummit.com.au.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. We really appreciate the chance to have a chat. It's such an important issue, I think, and it's something, something that's been very, very close to all of
kids
us.
Kids listening out there, please get involved in it's a great program.
Exactly, and if you can't make it, of course, it's, as you say, those little differences we can all make. I think it's a really, really important point to make. So thank you very much for your time, Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
No worries. We're going to get into another song here on the MCG playlist. This is Hall of Fame. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan, the Grand Final EVEV edition on Sid.
Our last hour here on Get Serial Thursdays for this season, we'll be chatting with Jess Ribeiro. This is another interview that you definitely do not want to miss. The highly, almost more anticipated than the actual grand final, the grand final of the ridiculous quiz is happening, and James, boy, is it on.
Ooh, it's on.
We've got our final installment of the news, which I'm sure Brendan is also keen for that one. I don't know if I am, but we'll see how it goes.
It is the best one yet, I promise. Cannot believe this stuff.
But we're going to continue on with our tunes from the MCG playlist. And James, what are we going to be listening to this
morning?
We've
got Things Don't Seem by the Australian Crawl. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan, the Grand Final EVEV edition on Sin. That was Things Don't Seem by the Australian Crawl. You're listening to the AFL Grand Final EVEV show with James, Trisha and Brendan. But right now we have an interview with Jess Ribeiro. She is a shape-shifting musical enigma. The near untouchable quality of her recorded output is astonishingly consistent, and the wait for her new music is always worthwhile. Her 2012 debut album, My Little River, was an award-winning folk country masterpiece, while her second album, Kill It Yourself, was a slow-burning indie noir masterpiece which left reviewers scrambling for superlatives. She will be performing at the Darabin Music Feast opening party, and she's on the line to have a chat about it. Thanks for joining us, Jess.
Thanks for having me. It's 8 o'clock. Great.
This is late for us.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I'm on holiday.
Hopefully you're awake. Sorry to get you up so early.
It's okay.
So, first of all, how would you describe yourself as a musician, Jess? A lot of our listeners may not have heard of you before.
Well, firstly, so my name's Jess Ribeiro. It's really hard for people to pronounce. It happens all of the time. Ribena, Ribeiro,
Ribeiro. Ribeiro. Lovely.
We've got a new album out at the moment. It's called Love Hate. Oh. And you've just got to check it out. It's pretty good music. I think that we have really well, you know, People love it. They come along, they dance.
Just
finished a tour in August.
Fantastic. No, absolutely.
Loving the confidence, Jess. Loving it.
It sounds fantastic, and our listeners will get a chance to hear one of your tracks just after the interview today, which will be great. So you're playing a show at the Darabin Music Feast opening party that you're keen to have a chat about this morning. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Don't know much about it. It's in Northcote. And there'll be heaps of other bands there.
Yeah, so it says 15 acts in total. Do you know any of the other acts you're performing with?
One called the Goon Sacks.
Probably, the Goon Sacks will be there.
That is a great band name.
Such a good band name. I'll probably know most of the band.
Yeah, so we've got Alice Skye, Cool Sounds, Kulte, Emma Donovan and the Putbacks, Huntley, yourself, of course, Kian,
Low Res,
Raw Humps, Rebel Yell, The Clotheslines, of course, the Goon Sacks, the Mamas, Tiana Kasi, Ubine, and Zoe Fox. It's such a big lineup.
Good band names. I'm loving some of the band names.
Yeah, they really got it going on. So you're excited for that show?
Always. Excited for every show. We've got a show tonight at the Post Office Hotel in Coburg as well.
Get along.
And there's one. Get along to that. It's a free show. And the Darabin Music Festival, I think that's free too, is it? The opening party?
Certainly is, yeah. It'll be running from 1 p.m. until late on the 20th of October. So that'll be a lot of fun. What can people who go along expect when they see you perform?
They can expect some crazy rock and roll.
That's
the
weird.
Mic shaking. Ooh. There's a really dodgy thing that I do with the mic that is quite disturbing for people, but they just...
Are you allowed to say that on air? Are you allowed to say what you do with the mic on air?
I shake it.
Oh, you shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. That,
you have to see it to kind of.
I wish you could demonstrate that for us now, because I'm really quite curious.
Radio's not a great medium for that, is
it's
it?
Really funny.
Oh my God. I'm sure it is.
Keen. And is there all originals, or have you got any covers you're going to bring out, or?
Good question. We might do a Devo cover, but we'll probably just stick to original songs, I reckon. Yeah. So come along, check it out. It'll be great.
Sounds fantastic.
I think it's a street party, yeah?
Yeah, it looks like it's there's a serious party vibe going on there. It will, of course, be on Hawthorne Road in Northcote. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jess. And definitely make sure you get along to her show. We're going to listen to one of your tracks now, Stranger. Is there anything you'd like to say about it before we play it?
Enjoy.
I'm sure we will. Thank you, Jess, for joining
Pleasure.
Us. This is Stranger.
Have a good morning, guys.
Thank you very much. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan, the Grand Final EVE Edition.
You're listening to Get Serial Thursdays, the Grand Final EVE Edition with James, Trisha and Brendan. We just heard a bit of Am I Ever Gonna See Your Face Again by the Angels. Another one off the MCG
it's
playlist.
Getting me pumped for the grand final, these tunes. I'm just pumped for Saturday.
This morning,
Calm the Giants.
This morning does sound like a grand final right now, doesn't it? It really does have that vibe right down to the music choices. Well, speaking of finales, it is, of course, our final show as well, which means it's the last time for this season that we will get to talk about the Moos. For those who don't know, the Moos is the finest in cow-related news. Yes, it's a pun. Yes, it's funny. Stop giving me dirty looks, Trisha.
I'm not, no. Yeah, I'm currently thinking about the next pun and the next animal.
You want to go somewhere else next season if we come back?
I think we spice it up.
Well, keep working on that.
I will.
I don't think you're going to beat the Moos because it's just so utterly ridiculous.
Watch me.
Terrible.
We've been milking it all season long.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
It only worked for Karen before. Like, she was on fire.
Yeah.
Karen, she could get a position here.
I think she could.
100%. Right. The James and Karen show's happening. It's got it.
You're just going to cut us out.
We'll just do a graveyard.
We're a youth radio channel, so luckily she can't be on. But make sure you get around that interview. It will be online on our Facebook and Instagram. You'll be able to find out all about that interview. The Moos, of course, I bring you the finest in cow news. I feel like it's important we're informed about these important issues.
I haven't done a moo yet.
No, look, save it for the end. He's breathing in.
I almost joined in then. You just missed out.
Nah, get ready. First of all, milk powder without cows joins the animal-free megatrend. That's right. So they're now releasing a milk powder that is milk. It's cow-free. Cow-free.
So how does that work?
Look, it's a little bit complicated. But basically, let me explain it here. There are two replacements, plant-based milks, boring, how everyone does it.
Vijan milk.
Ooh. What? Please explain.
Yeah, say that again.
It's like a full joke.
Is your mic on?
Yes. Yeah. It's like Vijan, like mispronouncing vegan.
Okay.
So being Vijan is bougie.
Exactly. Vijan milk. Guys.
All right, we'll go with that. So apparently this particular one, they take a cow's milk DNA, add it to microflora, start a fermentation process which converts plant sugar into milk proteins, whey and casein.
Ooh, science.
That are identical to those from cows. That's right. That's probably about as scientific as we get on this show. What do we think? What do we think about essentially making milk powder in a test tube?
I don't think I have any feelings towards it, to be honest.
Would
I'd
you
go
drink
for it?
No, wouldn't drink it. Well, look, I mean, fermentation process, who knows? It might be better for you.
But if it doesn't taste better for me, then I'm not having it.
I can't drink milk anyway. Like, I can't. Can you guys drink straight milk just like that? Like, who goes to the fridge and goes, I'm just going to get a glass of milk?
My sister, and it's revolting.
I do, but there's terms and conditions around this. My family has goats. And so we, when I'm home, fresh goat's milk, oh, it is so good. Straight out of the fridge, I'll drink it by the litre. But I wouldn't do it with cow's milk.
I'm not coming over anytime soon.
Brendan, you look a bit like a goat.
Yeah, I do have the goat beard going on. No, it's...
So turning into a bit of a goat.
Hold on, let me turn on my advocate here. Goat's milk fresh doesn't taste like the stuff you get in the stores. The stuff you taste in stores tastes rubbish. This stuff is way, way better.
Whoa.
End of rant.
There's a bit of a sweetness to it. What does it taste like?
It's sweet. Oh, it's like honey sweet. It Ooh. Is the sweet,
this
sweet does, stuff.
This is an end
Get
of rant.
I think this is the moose, so we'll stick with the cows.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how we do the goat news. We'll have to work on that one.
I'll think of something.
Moving along. There's not as much interesting
moving
news.
Along.
Moving along. Keep those puns coming, guys. This one is one I absolutely love. It's a little bit dated, but I still think it's news. James, I think you'd be right around this. There has been released a Tinder for cattle. It is setting cows up with their ideal bull.
If I was a cow. If I was a bull.
It's a real app. This isn't fake news. Apparently, a starting farm up in the UK has launched a Tinder-style app called, wait for it, Tudder.
Boy, are you kidding me?
Tudder. It's my new favourite app. I haven't been getting around it, but I will. Lets farmers find breeding matches by viewing pictures of cattle with important details like their age, location and health information. Farmers who swipe right on a lucky cow can then contact the owner find out more details and speed up the often lengthy process associated with transporting animals when you're trying to get them inseminated.
You don't even find out this much information about a human on Tinder, but you're getting the whole health and background of a cow.
So you're concerned that it might be a breach of privacy for the cows, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, exactly. Probably. I'm standing up for the cows.
What do you reckon, though? How could it be on Tinder if you could find out their health information? Yeah, Danny's nodding along. She wants in. I mean, sure, a little bit invasive, but it's nice to know whether they, you know,
what blood type they are.
And one
question
last
question that always keeps me up at night.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure. Is it the first question you ask on a date?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my! Please don't tell me you're reading that out loud.
I'm going to read this out loud. We are moving along for one last time this season to what I think is genuinely the best moose story of the season. Trish has already broken.
I haven't seen it. Sorry, you're going to get a reaction.
This is it's even the headline is so horrendously good. Here we go. I'm just going to read it verbatim. Fire sparks mass explosion of semen at cattle breeding center.
What?
Trisha's had to leave the mic. She's freaking out.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, let me say it one more time. A fire sparks mass explosion of semen at a cattle breeding centre. Danny's
cow
lost
cow semen?
Yeah, correct. Thousands of dollars worth of bull semen has been destroyed after a cattle building exploded in a fire early this morning. In Gippsland, Victoria, at about 3 a.m, 100 cryogenic cylinders containing cattle semen exploded in the blaze. It took 10 fire crews more than 2 hours to contain the fire at the building, which is a cattle breeding service. And look, you can clearly tell the journalist who wrote this article has just had so much fun. Apparently it's a huge blow for farmers.
I have two concerns with this article. The one that they're measuring the amount in dollars. Like, why are we measuring the amount of semen in
dollars? Apparently, it ranges in value from $5 per straw to $95 per straw. This stuff isn't cheap, Trisha. This is serious. You got to stop treating this like a joke.
Wow. What do you use it for?
What do you think you use it for? Inseminating cows. They artificially inseminate.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay.
What do you think they just store it for a health snack or something?
My brain kind of more went to like, what gross things are they putting in my makeup and things like
yeah.
that. No, I'm serious. I'm actually serious. That's
God,
what
that would stink.
That's what I'm worried about.
That's a lot of tissues.
Other thing, that happened. Oh my God.
It's just so hard to know where to start. I mean, social media's been going wild with this. Apparently, this isn't just for the sake of the pun. The cylinders literally exploded in the blaze. This stuff was exploding everywhere. Well, could you imagine being a firefighter? One of the favourite jokes I saw going around is, you know, what'll I be doing in 5 years? I'll be a firefighter. I'll be helping people. Cut scene to, you know, you being splattered.
No. That's terrible.
It is horrendous.
I think just leave it there.
No, I don't know. Come on, there's got to be one more.
Actually looking for more.
There's got to be one more pun here. I mean, just the fact that there's farmers genuinely saying this will be a real blow for sure
oh my God.
Is one that... I think that's it's probably time to end it. It's probably
we're doing fish news next
well,
month.
Well, they
sounds fishy. Look, I think we really did milk the moose to the last straw. We certainly did. And I think that was an explosive final segment, if I don't say so myself.
Do we want to throw another one in there?
Yeah. We better say goodbye to the moose. We want to give one final send-off. Here we go.
What are we doing?
Wow. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan on the grand final Eve
and a bunch
Eve
of
edition
cows.
And a bunch of cows who were just mooing. This is What's My Scene by
I'm
the
not
Hoodoo
coming back
gurus.
If we get renewed.
You're listening to Get Serial on Sin with James, Trisha and Brendan. It is the grand final Eve edition. We just heard another classic song there, didn't we, James?
We certainly did. The MCG playlist is on fire this morning.
It's been bringing up the fire. Look, speaking of hot content, if you like, we have all season long been playing the Ridiculous Quiz. This is where... Yep, no, that's an opener. Yeah, we've got the Ridiculous by Red Foo. Let's get that rolling. We have been playing it all season long. It's been very much anticipated. It has been between Trisha and James. It has been a fantastic competition. We've come all this way, 10 weeks in. This is our 11th week, and it is 5-all. Who would have thought at the start that it would be this close?
I know. I think Trisha came out with an early lead. I think she won the first 2 or 3.
I reckon it was 2. Yeah. And then, yeah, you've really come back, James. And, of course, last week Danny subbed in and didn't do you any favours, Trisha.
It's okay. I forgive you.
That's nice.
That's so nice. Given that you're such a fierce competitor as well.
You know, if it was me, I would have been like, you had one job.
Well, you've already started me on the wrong foot, not going to lie, but that's okay.
It's all right. We are going to get into it. So I thought, given that it's been the AFL Grand Final Eve show, I probably couldn't theme it on anything else but footy. But being the Ridiculous Quiz, I was never going to give you normal boring questions, you know, who has the most premierships, all
yeah,
that kind of
that's
thing.
That's too easy for us.
It's too easy. No, instead I'm going to give you some weird and wacky football facts. Same as ever, you'll use your name as buzzers. There's best of
protesting.
Three. A lot of these questions have more than one correct answer, so most of them I'm going to plow on until I get a correct answer, so you can just alternate answers.
Yeah.
Let's roll into it. I've got the trophy in front of me. I'm not giving it to either of you until we have a conclusive winner. Get excited.
Do we get to keep this? If we come back, we'll make a new trophy. I think we need to keep this one for this season.
Oh, look,
put it in the cabinet.
Yeah,
get
I
home,
will.
Put it in the cabinet.
It's going to go with my other two trophies I have.
I'll think of something new for next season if we do come back again. But this is the grand finale for this trophy, and a great trophy it is.
Thanks, Dad. I know he's listening. Thank
shout
you.
Shout out to Trisha's dad, who's done a legendary job on this trophy. Two pieces of skirting board. Anyway, let's get into it. I keep getting away from what we should be talking about. Here's question one. What is the most common surname in VFL AFL history? Player surname.
Yeah.
That's
James.
Silence. Go for it.
I'm going to go with the obvious Smith.
Oh, that's what I was
correct.
Say. I was
you
actually
going
to say Smith.
What question one goes to James simply for getting the most obvious answer.
Now,
the most obvious name in Australia.
I think there's been a few more since, but in 2013 there had been 119 players of that surname. I think there's definitely been a few more since that time.
Let's just not choke like Collingwood. I'm one
mention
up.
Mention it one more time. A day off.
This is going to be tight. All right. I've got a bit of a different angle for this question. You'd think that there'd be a lot of Johns in the competition, right? It's a common first name.
John Smith, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. However, as far as I can tell, there's a few Jonathans going around, but there's only one team that has a John on their list at the moment. Can you tell me what team that is?
James, it's Collingwood.
Two teams then.
No, it's correct. It's Collingwood. It's John Noble. James knows his stuff. How on earth did you know that? He's won it.
He bet me before
what a comeback.
But I think we got to go for a clean sweep, mostly because I like the last question so much, and I think it's also up James's alley as well. The final question is, what team was originally called the Maybles?
James.
Trisha, oh!
And it was the Hawks.
Oh, unbelievable. James is the winner. He has got the clean sweep. Get the confetti out.
Oh.
Get the celebrations happening. It's going to be a big night tonight in the Strebanos household.
Oh, partying hard.
Any words you'd like to say after ploughing on all season and getting the win?
Well, there's not really anyone to thank but myself. So I'd go through all the sponsors and all the teammates, but unfortunately it was just me and the comeback king.
Excuse me, host but over
thank
here.
You, Brendan, for such generous questions.
quick question. Did you purposely do a Collingwood and a Hawthorn?
No, but kind of worked out that way.
And thanks, Danny, for absolutely bottling it last week. She had the chance to win it from...
maybe they don't like you now.
He's come out firing as the winner. It's been so much fun playing the ridiculous quiz all season long. I hope you guys have enjoyed it as well.
You finished it with that question.
The last one. Yeah. That was basically a victory parade for him, wasn't it? Giving him a Hawthorn.
You're just giving him a big head.
You had your chance.
You knew it was Smith.
I knew it was Smith. I just didn't say it.
Is there any words you'd like to say before saying goodbye as the loser?
I'm never going to doubt myself again.
Well, that has been the ridiculous quiz for the season. Thank you for enjoying it along with us this season. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin, James, Trisha, and Brendan, Grand Final Eve Edition. Woo!
You just listen to You'll Never Know by the 1920s. I just put that thinking it was the 1975. By 1927 with James, Trisha and Brendan on Sin.
Now, Trisha, you just got an amazing text over the break that I think you should read out. We did just play, of course, the ridiculous quiz. What did your dad say to you?
I made that trophy. It's meant to stay in our family. Thanks.
Ouch. What a burn. Did you lose a ridiculous quiz, you were also getting burnt by your father. That must
Trisha,
hurt.
You're at my house a lot these days, so you
can practically
get a nice
is
visit.
My house too.
So. Oh, dear. Well, we might get into a bit of a grand final preview. We've been hyping it up all morning. It's time to have a bit of a chat about the game and the tips. James, take it away.
Beautiful. 2:30 at the MCG on Saturday. You've got the Tigers versus the Giants, and probably a grand final not a lot of us expected.
Oh, it's pretty hard to see coming, given GWS sort of limped through the second half of the season.
Yeah, they just kind of hit form finals, and there'll be a few unlucky players to miss this week. Obviously, Jack Graham has ruled himself out with, I'm pretty sure it was a shoulder injury, and there'll be an inclusion, either Jack Ross, Camden McIntosh, or maybe even a debut in a grand final, Marlon Pickett, which would be very interesting.
Imagine debuting in a grand final.
Playing your first game
how
in a grand
intense.
Final.
That'd be silly to do.
And he won
that.
Best on ground in Definitely. The VFL grand final last week, so he's currently in form, so it wouldn't be too much of a surprise, although it is a surprise, if that makes any sense.
And I just saw for GWS that Stephen Coniglio ruled himself out, which is such a team thing to do.
How tough would that decision be? Like, you have the chance to play in your team's first ever grand final. Is he captain of the club?
Co-captain of the club.
Vice-captain,
yes. It's Phil Davies and Phil Davis, I should say, and Callum Ward, Callum Ward's not playing. And Phil Davis is also under injury cloud. So they've got basically
they've
the whole...
a pretty rough trot
the whole leadership
they're,
team.
No, their leadership team. At one stage, you had Toby Green. Like stepping in to do the toss,
and he's only there every second week.
Talk about stepping in; he'll be coming back. And the unlucky ones for them look like to be Ian Bobby Hill and
Lockie Keefe.
Because they've got another player coming
Whitfield
back in.
Will come back, imagine, and 6 days after an appendicitis surgery, he's going to be coming back.
Quite impressed. Grand final 6 days later.
He'll get a few punches in there.
Yeah, it's
tragic,
that's footy. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, they'll be targeting certainly that area.
Sure, it'll be stitched up pretty well.
Oh, don't start me.
So, with injuries to GWS, you can't blame injuries. Richmond.
Yeah, but they just won last week against Collingwood with less of these players.
Don't blame injuries.
I just feel like Richmond's just the form side of the comp. It'd be almost dumb to tip against them.
You have to remember that I have not a long memory, but a bit of a memory, and there was a team called the Adelaide Crows who were heavily the favourites in 2017 to win the grand final, and they got absolutely
done.
The biggest one in recent time was 2014. Sydney finished on top of the ladder, and I remember going to that grand final. Was on the Hawthorn support, and we played them that year, thinking that we're no chance. We're absolutely no chance. Mm. Everyone was on the Sydney bandwagon. We came out 56 points winners or something.
And last week against Collingwood for GWS,
bring it up again.
It proves, we're going to bring it up every time we can until this show ends. It proves that every final is really a 50-50 game because you just don't know what could happen. Who could get injured, what the conditions could be like. I mean, I think the wet played a big role there. So I'm tipping GWS, but only because I really want them to win. I'll be going for them. What about yourself, James?
Well, I was going to quickly ask you guys. We're going to do first goal scorer, Norm Smith and Margin. And obviously we're not back next week.
Oh, wow.
Obviously we're not back next week to see the answers. I'll just get a quick tip prediction from both of you.
So I reckon...
first goal scorer?
Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah.
Big mark in front of the crowd.
Norm Smith?
I'm going to go with... that's a tough one. It's either going to be Dusty Martin if Richmond win, but if GWS win, I think it has to be... who was that bloke who... He did really well through the midfield last week.
Zach Williams.
Yes, Zach Williams. If he steps up again like that, I think he's a real chance. There's a smoky for you.
And Trisha? First goal scorer, Norm Smith and a margin.
Or did you ever say margin?
I can't even guess. It'll be 2 points or something. It'll be close. It'll be a grand final for the ages.
GWS, Lockie Whitfield's going to have the game of his life.
So Norm Smith?
Yeah, and 7 points.
And first goal scorer?
Jeremy Cameron as well.
Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah. Ooh.
I think the first goal scorer will be Lockie Whitfield. He'll come off the wing and he'll score the first goal. Although Richmond will win... by 5 points, and Dion Prestia, the human meatball, will win Norm Smith.
Still the worst nickname in footy. I think we might end it there, but I still don't understand.
And we're
going to
end it with a classic footy song. Mike Brady will be performing before the grand final up there, Kazali. You're listening to the grand final Eve edition of Get Serious.
Do you think they're thawing him out at the moment, getting him ready for the game, getting him out of the cryogenic?
Definitely warming him up. You're listening to James, Trisha and Brendan. That was Up There, Kazali. What a tune by Mike Brady. And Mike Brady, Brendan, is just one of those guys that they keep in the closet all year and they just bring him out for grand final day. It's like a Santa Claus.
Well, I don't know if they keep Santa Claus in the closet, but I suppose they keep his, it's certainly his outfit. Spoiler alert, Santa Claus may or may not be real. but Mike
really?
Brady is real. Okay, I'm really in trouble now, aren't I? Let's move right along. Mike Brady is real, and it is an iconic song, but it only gets played once every 12 months.
Yeah, it's like there's like a little closet down at the MCG, a little basement, and he just comes up for grand final day, performs his song, goes back into the basement.
I reckon he's frozen every year between so they can keep him going as long as possible.
Yeah, he's the Walt Disney of footy, Mike Brady. And
he certainly is.
Such a magician.
Unfortunately, it's come to that time. It's the last quarter, so to speak, of the grand final for
last
us.
Last 5 minutes.
This
5 minute warning.
We are
sadly
having to say goodbye for an entire season.
We'll be back.
Thank you so much to all our listeners for having us this season, for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Thanks to our EPs, Tom and Georgina, for all their hard work.
Danny for keeping us on air each week.
Absolutely. Danny has been amazing as our producer. We couldn't have done it without her either. Thanks to you guys. It's been so much fun being on air with you.
It's good meeting you. We've only known you for the 11 weeks we've
been
on air.
It's been great with Brendan.
It feels like we've known each other forever now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Close relationship.
I love it. It's been so much fun this season, and we've covered so many different things.
Yep.
Thanks for sticking with us through the fire alarms, through the relationship hassles.
The sleep-ins.
Yeah. You name it, it's happened, and most of that happened on one show.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's just been an absolute...
It has been a ride.
We've had some amazing interviews.
Brilliant ones,
Met some really, like, amazing people.
We even went to private functions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure to meet some wonderful people, and... make sure you get around our podcast from the season. I'm sure when we get a chance, we'll also pop up a best of the season.
Yeah.
So
there'll be a big show. There's a lot of best of.
There might be some little snippets from James's relationship segments in there.
Oh, lucky that hasn't been back for a couple of weeks. <God. laughs>
No, it's been so much fun. We hope we'll be back next season. But otherwise, enjoy Saturday. It should be a cracker of a grand final.
Up the Pies.
Up the Giants.
Enjoy your long weekend with that brilliant public holiday tomorrow. That's us signing off. Goodbye from James, Trisha, and Brendan. We have to say goodbye.
No, I have emotional issues, so I'm not going. I'm staying next to this microphone.
Woo!
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.